Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time, and it's a doozy. With a happy ending, however. This is Wretched Radio. To Moldova we go. Go ahead. Find that on a map. It's in Eastern Europe. It is one of the poorest, if not the poorest, country in all of Eastern Europe. And let me tell you something.
Romania, isn't it?
That's a lot of poor countries. Everything's next to Romania, pretty much. Well, it is. It's right in the middle.
No, France is not next to Romania.
I mean, in Eastern Europe,
oh,
so poor, you and I cannot imagine what poor looks like until you visit some of these Eastern European villages out in the country. Woo! Even in the city, I remember being in Bucharest, downtown, looking at heard a clomp, clomp, clomp outside of my hotel window. Looked out. It was like an old car. I don't know what make it was. Probably some communist-made car under Ceausescu. It was cut in half, and there were wheels then put on the front, somehow jerry-rigged, even though the car was cut in half. So the engine taken off so that the farmer could sit in the seat, and then the trunk had become the bed of the whatever it is. I don't want to get all agricultural on you. I guess it would be called a wagon. It was a car being pulled by a horse in downtown Bucharest. Clomp, clomp, clomp down the street. Half car, half wagon, whole horse. A farmer in from wherever. That's how he transported his goods. It is poor there, and there are not many missionary endeavors to these poor parts of the world. I know that there are some, and there are some fine missionary people that are in Eastern Europe, Romania, Moldova, Ukraine, Lithuania. That's not really Eastern. I guess, is Lithuania Eastern Europe? At any rate, all of those places that are very poor, for some reason, you don't see a ton of missionary activity. Tomorrow clubs go. And I saw this story. Life is hard on every level there. Well, we just sent this out in a newsletter. You'll be able to see it on Wretched TV. But I also received a letter from the Tomorrow Clubs. Mrs. Friel and I were thrilled to support them. $30 a month, 30 disciples, Eastern Europe, far-flung villages, not much missionary activity. You can do that yourself at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, and you will know why we love this ministry. Verica's life had never been easy. Her father was an alcoholic. Well, there's a shocker in Eastern Europe. With a bad temper, knock me over with a feather. And without steady work, there's the third strike right there. That is what part of what makes life so hard. No work, no employment, no reason to get out of bed in the morning, lots of despair, and lots of cheap alcohol. Her mother tried her best to provide for the family, but there was seldom enough money for food. Every day was a struggle. But this was the only life Verica and her three younger siblings knew. They were poor, as were most of her neighbors. The real nightmare began at the age of 14. When Verica was raped by her father and became pregnant. Accustomed to poverty, the family now carried an even greater burden, shame. Her father was sent to prison. Her mother was forced to work night and day to feed her family. Verica left to care for her younger siblings and her newborn baby. Can you imagine? By the way, when you decide when you're in Moldova, I'm a little chilled. I think I'll adjust the thermostat. Doesn't happen. when you think, I'm so thirsty, I'll just get some running water from the tap. We just take it for granted. Not in Moldova. It is not a life of ease. Everything is hard. They lived in isolation, shunned by the residents of their small village. Now, that's really a shame, isn't it? This young girl, she didn't deserve that shaming. She was abused. She was violated. There shouldn't have been shame, but that was the reality. No one was willing to help. Because of neglect, the children were falling behind their peers in school. Verica was blamed by many of the situation for many much of the situation that her family was in. She felt abandoned, helpless, hopeless, her soul in despair. The children who come to the Tomorrow Club, led by a woman named Mihai, face immense challenges, but they pale in comparison to what we witnessed when we first, Mihai is a he, actually, my apologies. The other kids pale in comparison with their problems to what he witnessed when he first met Verica. Mihai recalls the shock on Verica's face when he and some Tomorrow Club leaders delivered a package of food and clothes to her home. You know, kindness. She couldn't believe someone would even talk to them, let alone try to help. Mihai invited Verica and her siblings to the Tomorrow Club. In very poor communities, meals are sometimes included as a part of the Tomorrow Club meeting. When Verica heard there was food, the decision was made. She and her siblings would be coming. The Tomorrow Club meetings were different than anything Verica had experienced in her world. No one had ever cared how she was doing or how she was feeling. She was amazed by how the leaders accepted her unconditionally. She fell in love with the beautiful songs the club leaders taught the kids to sing. She was encouraged by the Bible verses she memorized. She was moved by how the leaders treated each other and the love they showed the kids. It's so stark in places like this. Christian kindness, which is not the gospel, Christian kindness undergirds the gospel. In order for people to hear the gospel, they need to, you know, hear the gospel, which means words need to be spoken. But that does not mean that kindness does not share any sort of role in the evangelistic endeavor, but it undergirds evangelism. It supports evangelism. In the West, we find that kind of hard to grasp how powerful that can be. Not in Eastern Europe, not in Moldova. Bringing a meal, being kind, being nice, asking how was your day. Shocking kindness to these kids. The Tomorrow Club leaders became good friends of the family. They faithfully prayed for them and tried to help them in every way they could. They even saved money and bought the family a new internet hookup? No. A new Mac computer. A new BMW in their driveway with a big bow on it for Christmas?
No. That's what everybody's doing.
It seems like it. Aren't we all losers for not giving each other cars? The Tomorrow Club gave the family a cow. That's a big deal. Verica regularly attended the club. And as she hid God's word in her heart, her faith grew and her life began to change. The Tomorrow Club leaders had invited Verica and her mother to church, and they finally decided they would go. At that very meeting, they both surrendered their lives to Jesus. And soon after, Verica and her mother were baptized. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the role the Tomorrow Club serve. That's their function. They want kids to get saved, so they bring the gospel home, so the parents get saved, and the church gets strengthened in these dying villages. The Tomorrow Club meets in an unfinished building along with a small church that has grown out of the club. Verica, now a joyful young lady, is here every week serving as a leader in the Tomorrow Clubs. Transformed by God's saving grace, she is committed to raising her daughter and siblings for Christ. She prays that God would use her story to draw others to Him, and that the kids she works with would see Christ in her and become His followers. Hold on for this punchline. She's even been able to forgive her father and prays for his salvation. Is life still difficult? Yep. She struggles with scars from her past, the demands of raising her daughter and helping her mother provide for the family. But now she has God in her life. She said, quote, "I cannot imagine where I would be if I had not met Christ. My life would be a complete nightmare without him." Oh, man. Story after story, just like that. Would like to encourage you, please consider supporting a Tomorrow Club. You could be responsible for that for 30 little disciples in very poor Eastern European villages. It is $30 per month. The goal of Tomorrow Clubs, they want to start up at least 100 new clubs. 100 new clubs. And they can with more support. So if you can this time of year, I know that they would love it. And we would love to share more stories of people getting saved and lives certainly being changed, courtesy of God and his gospel and the work of the Tomorrow Clubs. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. As this year comes ever so quickly to a close, would you, could you, prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? We could truly use your financial support. Wretched is growing. We are really growing, and we have the opportunity to reach more and more people with the gospel. But to do that, we need your year-end support. Go to wretched.org/donate for details on how you can become a Wretched monthly gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. Please know we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar sent to us goes directly to ministry work. So would you prayerfully consider today becoming a gospel partner? wretched.org/donate. wretched.org/donate. Donate. Thank you. And Merry Christmas. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale. Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. heartsforthelost.com.
names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Challenge, got a challenge for you. This is Wretched Radio. Ask any pastor and they will tell you, yep, that happens to me. They're studying for Sunday's sermon. They are preparing the text. The text has a theme and they start to focus on that theme as any good expositor would. And they go about the business of trying to study that theme throughout Scripture because the Bible is elegant. It is woven together like a lovely tapestry, mostly of scarlet threads. The pastor starts to see that theme in a lot of places throughout the Bible. And so it is, as I've been working on the subject of suicide and depression and anxiety, it keeps boiling down to one issue for me. Now, I understand it can be more complex on the surface, but at the heart of the issue of depression and anxiety and suicidal ideations is the issue of truth, whether we are going to believe what is true, actual, and real, or what is fabricated, false, shady, and a lie. That's what it keeps coming down to for me. And so it is, as I've been reading through so much of the Bible, I keep stumbling over this theme. For instance, I'm reading Romans, the magnificent book in the treasure chest of God's word. This is Romans. You'd be hard pressed to not be able to state that this is the crown jewel in the treasure chest of God's word. I would suggest to you Romans 8 and verses 38 and 39. That's like the top of the mountain. Okay, if God's word, let me work on my illustration. If God's word is like a mountain range, Romans is Mount Everest. Romans 8, 38, and 39, top of the summit. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not height, nor depth, length, breadth, width, top, bottom, in, out, everything that you can imagine. Demons, angels, nothing, nor any other created thing. Paul said it more eloquently. But that to me is just the zenith. God's grace is so great. When he saves you, he keeps you. Nothing. Your thoughts, your past, your history, your bad memory, lies, parents, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It's a magnificent couple of verses. And Romans 15 itself is just loaded with those. And so it is. I'm reading Romans 15, and I get to Paul's benediction at the end. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Did you catch that? May the God of hope, so God is a hopeful God. He's not a crabby God, not a depressed God. He's a God of hope. Fill you with all joy. He's the God of joy and peace. He's the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. How? In believing. How do we get that hope, that joy, that peace? In believing. That's how it works. When you believe God's word, when you believe the truth that is only found in the word, you're going to have joy and you're going to have hope and you're going to have peace. It's just everywhere in the Bible. And that is a reminder to, by the way, that's a reminder. We've got to be careful with our emotions and our thinking, what drives our train. You are a train. You've got a car, you've got cars, and you've got an engine. We have a tendency to think our thinking is the engine that drives everything else. I hear that even in Christian preaching. The world would tell you your feelings are the engine. Just go with your feelings. Believe in your inner self. Listen to your inner voice. You've got to be true to you. Believing is first. Because if you don't believe that God is true and his word is truth, you're not going to think the right thoughts, have the right emotions, and your will never be changed, and you'll always be off track. Believing comes first. Believing what? God's word. What is God's word? God's word is truth. And so I see it again and again and again throughout Scripture. So here's my challenge to you. Pick a thought. Pick a concept. Pick a theology. Pick a truth in the Bible, and then go pick an epistle. I don't care which one, and look for it. Now, don't dig it up where it doesn't exist. That's not what we want. That's not how we treat the Word of God. We don't want to do eisegesis. Yeah, there I found it, and you smashed it into the text. But pick an idea, God's kindness, and then go read Ephesians and see if you can find God's kindness exhibited there. Now, it might not use the word kindness, but see if you see it demonstrated. And I bet you will. Look for the word truth or the concepts of truth in believing rightly, understanding, knowledge, wisdom. Go look for those words. And you're going to, it's just going to pop all over the page. And I recommend that to you if your Bible reading, your 82 hours of daily private quiet time have gotten a little bit stale. This is an assignment for you. This will get you into the Word in a way that isn't just reading it again. You're studying it now. You're diving in. You're more attentive now because you're looking for something there. I challenge you to do it. Go ahead. Pick God's love. And I'll tell you what. Pick God's love and then go read 1 John. Pretty easy book. It's 5 chapters. Take 5 nights if you want to. 1 chapter a day. And look for God's love. See if you find it. And you will be so encouraged. You will be so filled with God's love. You watch, because that is what the Word does for you. So I'm reading this booklet called Help, I Get Panic Attacks by Lucy Ann Mole. This is printed by Shepherd Press. This is Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Lovely brother, just such a godly man. He, by the way, he does drive-by parenting with us, available at wretched.org. That's not why I brought him up. That's Shepherd's Press and the Help series. They probably got 40, 50 now. This one is called Help, I Get Panic Attacks. And I was thrilled to pieces to read it because guess what her encouragement is? Stop listening to the lies and start believing truth. That is the issue that I think is so overlooked so often for everybody, all of it. What is the issue that you struggle with? And I would bet you a nickel that it comes down to truth versus lies. You struggle with pornography. Now, there's a lot of components. I grant you that. There's pride. There's lust. There's a lack of contentment in God. Remember, almost everything that we do and think is a statement about God and who He is. You will behave based on what you're believing about God. Remember the engine belief? So if the train cars are acting up or they're even riding on track, that is a statement about the engine, God. So let's just say pornography. You just struggle with it. You just keep falling down. You say, I'm not going to do it again, and you keep falling down. Why? Why? There's a lie. And I can't answer that for you because I don't know what's going on in your noggin. But I am certain there is a lie involved. Let's just say your issue, and I actually know a dear saint that wrestles with this. Leaving the house, being around people, a sense that people might actually harm her. Now, is that rational? Well, it could be if you were in some place where there's guns being you're in downtown Chicago, the south side of Chicago. It's the baddest part of town. There's gunfire. Yeah, I can understand why you wouldn't feel safe. That would be reasonable because that would be a valid, a truthful belief. But let's just say we're talking about suburbia here. And of course, the world has its perils. But her fear is not getting hit by a car or getting into a car accident. It's a fear of people. And you might actually think that that's irrational, but I would say to you, it's not irrational in that for that this lovely saint, she's believing something that she thinks is valid, but it's not. She could be thinking that if I get close to them, they're going to utilize that to hurt me and I don't want to be hurt again. Now, I recognize in every relationship that is a potential danger, but that's not the rule. That's the exception. Maybe she thinks somebody will find out something about me and will use that to hurt me. Maybe she thinks that somebody is going to make fun of her behind her back. She might overhear it, or people are going to laugh at her. She's believing something that's motivating her behavior because it is belief that drives the train. Now, her challenge, your challenge, is to figure out what the lie is. So what is it? Is it anger that you wrestle with? think, why am I getting angry? And I promise you, it'll be because somewhere in there you're believing a lie. It could be a lie about others. It could be a lie about self. It could be a lie about God. Whatever it is, you are believing something that is not true. And now the goal of the Christian believer is to do what? Change that, not thinking, believing first. Got to change the, don't forget, don't bypass the believing. I'm acting like this because I'm believing this lie. I need to believe God's word. I need to believe God's promises. All right, Lord, I'm scared in this situation. I don't know how to handle this. I can't get this under control, but I believe your word. Now go see what that word says and let that truth replace that lie, and eventually, if not even beginning immediately and progressively, you will discover your emotions change, your will changes, and your thinking will change when you reject the lies, replace it with truth. Why? Because you are believing rightly. Would encourage you, if you are not spending time in the Word, which will encourage your belief in God and His Word, do it by finding a theme, a thought, a word, a theology, an attribute of God, and go find an epistle and read it and study it and look for that, and you watch what God does by utilizing His Word to grow your belief, change your thinking, your feeling, your will, and your direction. This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about His good pleasure. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you do it. You're going to be tempted to do it. Don't you do it. This, I don't even know who I was impersonating there.
I think you were impersonating.
It was George Bush. It started out
It started out as Dana Carvey's George Bush, which is very different from the actual George Bush.
And it had tinges of a bad Jerry Lewis, so.
Is there any other kind? This is Wretched Radio. Millennials want to ban Secret Santa because it gives them anxiety. Don't do it. Do not do it. Was listening to my earbuds at the gym. You could probably tell I spend a fair amount of time there. Oh. The only reason I spend a fair amount of time at the gym is because I'm so slow at doing anything there. I would just take forever between what they call sets. Ay, ay, ay. You pick it up, you put it down. It seems so fruitless. Nevertheless, I've got my earbuds in, and I'm listening to the Spotify. This is a music service, and I refused. I don't know what they charge per month, where you can actually fast forward through the songs. While I am so tempted by that, I can't bring myself to spend the $4.99 or the $9.99. They give you 5 changes. So every time you listen, if you don't like a song that comes on, you can press next. But you can only do that 5 times, and then it stops,
ever?
And you have to listen to what they present you. As frustrating as that is, I refuse to bend the knee to the Spotify machine. So I'm listening to it, and a commercial will come on because I don't pay the whatever, $7.99, whatever it is. And I'll do a dramatic recreation of the commercial. And this is not intended. I'm not trying to set this up as a joke, and I'm not trying to make this a gotcha or an aha, just the opposite. Believe me, just the opposite. But it's several voices, youthful voices, saying something like, checking into work, doing the time card thing at the work, can be so exhausting. It's like, I just want to go home before I even get to work. Yeah, well, I'd fill out a sick day form, but man, it's so difficult. And yeah, how's about filing for insurance, and something like that, where where the presentation is for that these particular people, and even though part of it is a spoof, nevertheless, there's enough of a foot in reality that there's some validity to what they're saying, that for this, some people in this particular generation, a lot of stuff can be exhausting. Punching into work, filling out a sick day form. Huh, who can endure such trials as that? And while you might hear that and whip out the old nasty name-calling of snowflake or whatever it is that they're calling, and it's going both ways with the boomer and snowflake business, why don't instead of jumping on to the obvious bandwagon and maybe having a sense of pride that our generation is so much more hardworking than their generation, we're so much tougher than they are, may or may not be true, who cares? But how's about we learn about them? From this. How's about that? I got to tell you, I keep thinking about this, and I'm challenged in this, and I would challenge you in the same regard, because I don't think there's any one of us who have a handle on the whole shebang we call life and contemporary reality. But as we see all of these stories, all right, now let me, for instance, I got him here someplace. Trust me, I've got him. Don't forget, Wretched Radio. The most organized radio program on this station at this time. Okay, I've got them right here. This is what's going on. Oh, by the way, this is a crazy story and an update. Do you remember I shared with you that a man who believes he's a woman went into one of these places where people, women go, I guess, to get different waxes?
Yep.
And he insisted on having a Brazilian wax, which apparently is a rather intimate sort of affair that they do. And he went to a bunch of those places or sent emails, wanted to set up appointments, and none of them would take it. And so he tried to sue them. This was in British Columbia, I believe. And I said that he actually won the case. It turns out that it was determined, no, this was just a recent ruling. I was informed that he had actually won a case. He had not. It was determined, no, they do not have to do that because they are not instructed how to deal with males instead of females for this particular waxing procedure. Nevertheless, doesn't it demonstrate just where we're at as a culture? In this particular update, when I saw this, there was also a picture of this man who thinks he's a woman. And you would look at it and you would know immediately that this is somebody with clear challenges. Just obvious issues. Okay, we can laugh at it. I get that. And we can mock it and we can snowflake it or they're just nuts. But isn't there more? Can't we get more? As Christians, can't we bring something a little deeper to it? I'd like to think that we can. There's just story after story. There's in Manchester, this one is in Great Britain. Everybody's upset. The parents are upset because there's a girl who thinks she's a boy. She wants to change in the locker room. No, this is the elementary school. I can't keep them all straight. This is the elementary school where you can use whatever bathroom that you want. Yeah, here it is. Manchester school bathroom policy for transgender student upsets parents. They're upset because a child who was born a boy but identifies as a girl is being allowed to use the girl's bathroom. This is elementary school. No one was told in the community. Woo! I can understand why those parents might be a little annoyed. Now, again, this is the obvious stuff. Here's the letter from the Dr. Teresa Grimaud, the superintendent of the Manchester Community Schools. Quote, transgender students must be allowed to use the restroom and locker rooms that corresponds with their gender identity. And so, despite the way that they were clearly born physically, if they think otherwise, that's what they are, and that's the locker room or the restroom that they have to use. Manchester Community Schools accommodates any student who is uncomfortable with such practices by providing an alternate facility to use. Well, now there's the low-hanging fruit for us. How ridiculous. So the kids who are behaving in reality with what they are, if they're upset by the girl who thinks she's a boy using their showers, they have to go to a private bathroom. Yep. Not the kid with the issue, but the ones with the issue with the person with the issue. Is this insanity? Well, of course it is. What is the cure for insanity? What is the corrective for crazy? And instead of just, which I know it's easy to do and been there, done that, still do that. But this should at least remind us this world is demonstrating what it looks like to be Lord of the flies, to be without authorities, specifically the authority of God. This is Romans 1. What is the cure? Why is Romans 1 at the beginning of the book? Because it demonstrates through the next 15 chapters the cure for crazy, the cure for bad thinking, the cure for this insanity that is going on in our civilization. And so we should see these things, and I understand the consternation, I understand the frustration, but we need to see this and be motivated. We got to get the gospel to these people. How miserable must they be? If we're seeing this type of thinking in public, what are they thinking in private? This is a world that is ripe to hear the good news of the gospel. And so now we hear about millennials want to ban Secret Santa because it gives them anxiety. Okay, not something that we should be using to bash them with, but something that should motivate us to help them, shouldn't it? British job hunting website JobSite reported that millennials find the Secret Santa gift exchange to be anxiety-inducing. A psychology lecturer at the university in Salford in Manchester believes it is the fear of appearing stingy that makes the holiday tradition stressful. Okay, so there's another lie that they're believing. So they give a gift. What's happening with a lot of these young people, they're afraid to look stingy, so they spend money they don't have, they go into greater debt, and that causes them to be depressed. Well, at the root of that is a lie, that it matters what anybody thinks about your gift. That's just a lie. That's not how we find our security in the world. I'm secure because of Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm secure. Who cares what the peasants think when the king says, I approve of you because of my son. I love you. You're mine. Okay, now I can go to Secret Santa. They just need this truth. They don't need a mocking. They need truth. This from the latest study. Everything is being rethought. 4 in 10 millennials now say they are religiously unaffiliated. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting, who will bear the sheaves away? Take it away, Tony!
I have no idea.
Loud and long the master calleth, rich reward he offers thee. Something like that. I'm not sure what pitch that was. Who will answer gladly, saying, here am I? Let's mock him! Let's mock him! 2016 Pew Research Center study found that regardless of the religion, those raised in households in which both parents shared the same religion still identified with the faith in adulthood. That's cool, but guess what? A lot of people are breaking up, and these days, so many parents are divided even though they share the same address, and kids feel abandoned, and they're not following the faith of their father and their mother, and they are leaving the faith that they never owned in the first place. And now you and I, we get to work with them, we get to meet them in the streets, we bump into them at the grocery store, and we have a choice. Make fun, condescend, bemoan, or love them and share the truth with them. This is Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas, too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner?
You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735. The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Survey says this is Wretched Radio. New York Post talking about a new Pew Research Center poll analyzing, not people, preaching. Well, this is right up my wretched alley. Isn't it up yours? What are preachers preaching? How long are they preaching? What are they preaching about? Think about your own church. What are sermons like? Here's what the survey says, analyzing 49,719 sermons. Sure hope somebody at the Pew Research Center got saved from all that preaching. These were shared online by 6,431 churches. The most exhaustive attempt to date to catalog and analyze American religious sermons. Wow. Who knew so many churches were using movies as their sermon text? They didn't study that.
Please, no.
I wish they had. Wouldn't that be depressing? The median length of sermons. Now, this is average. This includes Catholic and Protestant. Gentlemen, would you like to profit a guess? What do you think? How long?
12 minutes.
That's a Lutheran church. Correct. Tony, what do you think in general? What's the average?
30 minutes.
37. 37 minutes. Now, that is the average, and it most certainly is wildly different. Catholic sermons were the shortest at a median of 14 minutes. They don't say Lutherans, but I think they're... What is the goal for the average Lutheran homily these days, Tony?
Probably in that 20 to 30 range.
20 to 30?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe
there are stopwatches, but I'm guessing that's generally what ours are.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
Now, okay.
It's a sermon, not a homily.
It's a sermon, not a... What's the difference?
I'm not sure. I always heard homilies. I always heard homilies in my Catholic church where if it was over 12 minutes, that was it.
You were just trying to razzle-dazzle me with vocabulary that would confuse me. I don't need more to confuse me, mister.
Homily is used to make grits.
Ah.
Nope, that's hominy, but nice try.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I love shrimp and grits. I got to tell you something. Oh, there's a place here in the South that actually makes grits. They deep fry the grits in a patty because just in case your grits aren't rich enough, let's deep fry them. And then you put the shrimp on it. Oh, welcome to What Are We Here? This is Wretched Radio. Turns out Catholics, 14 minutes compared to 25 minutes for mainline Protestants, 39 minutes in evangelical Protestant congregations. So evangelicals longer on the preaching. Okay, so Tony.
Yep.
Do you have an objection to a 40-minute sermon?
No, I'll check out about 25 minutes no matter what, so sure.
Well, now that's fast. See, there was inside of this article, they asked a professor of preaching at, he was either at Southern or South, I think it was at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The homiletics prof was asked, how long should a sermon be? And he said, I never used to have an answer. He said, now I have a definitive answer every single time. You preach for as long as you can hold their attention. Mm-hmm. That might not be a bad rule. And the challenge, of course, with that is that everybody's got varying attention spans. Nevertheless, if you can hold a congregation's attention for 40 minutes, rock on. 50 minutes, rock on. I'm not sure how many people can really stay plugged in for 60 minutes or more. Maybe some can, I guess. But there's got to be some sort of level of diminishing return. So maybe it's dependent, at least in part, on the pastor's skill at that point. And maybe, Pastor, just food for thought, if you are not at the level yet where you can keep their attention past 25 minutes, then don't preach past 25 minutes.
Or take out all the fluff and drivel from your hour, and it's only about 25, 30 minutes.
Well, not necessarily. There are a lot of preachers.
Well, yeah, in some places there would be eight.
No, flush. Yeah, there's those places. I'm thinking about Bible-based churches that preach expositionally. All right, for some reason, Steve Lawson pops to mind. Why? Because he's the professor. He heads up the homiletics department at Master's Seminary. He preaches for 50 minutes. There isn't a whiff of drivel. Open your Bible, and you jump into the text, and it's not, hey, church, how you doing this morning? Hey, I was just in Louisiana. Whoa, is it humid down there? But it's nice here. Thanks. None of that. He just is in. He begins in the text. He preaches through the text. He ends in the text. So I know, Tony, there are a lot of people who have got drivel that should be cut out of there. But I'm talking about the guys that are good and sound. You preach for as long as you can hold their attention, and you should be able to hold people's attentions increasingly as you go. Now, speaking of fluff and drivel, if you will, they did some number counting. I thought this was fascinating, that the length of sermons, I think it's about 5,500 words inside of each one of the sermons that averaged about the same length. So the 39-minute sermon or the 40-minute sermon, the same length as churches that preached for 54 minutes. Speaking specifically of historically black Protestant churches, had the longest sermons, 54 minutes in length. They lasted longer than mainline Protestant sermons, even though on average they contained about the same number of words. What was filling up the space? It is a style issue. They allow more time for musical interludes, responses from worshipers, and dramatic pauses in their oratory. Now, is that wrong to do that? Well, if it's manipulative, of course it is, but that's true of anything. No, it's a style issue. Part of it could be, dare I say, a cultural issue. And if they can preach that long, and that's the way that it is done, and it teaches, and it's biblical, and it holds people's attention, why would I complain about this? In addition to sermon length, the Pew studied words and phrases most commonly used by preachers from the various Christian traditions. It found that the word hallelujah appeared in sermons about 22% in the historically black Protestant churches, and those congregations were eight times more likely than others to hear that word. So they did a total breakdown. You can find it at Pew Research. Different types of churches that had different words that they focused on. Sermons from evangelical churches were three times more likely than those from other traditions to include the phrase eternal hell. Which we should, because it is eternal, and it is hell, and it's horrible. You know what I wish they would have done? Done a count on the word Jesus. How many times do we hear the word Jesus? How many times is Jesus talked about in a sermon? Now, I understand not every text lends itself as much to that, but if a sermon isn't ultimately pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ, it can be fine, it can be good, but it can't be great, because it's not about the greatest subject there is. You don't want to mangle the text to get there in some sort of contorted way, but get there if you can, and you almost certainly can, and leave Jesus ringing in their ears. And speaking of preaching, and speaking of teaching, what has to be the single saddest story I'm trying to think of a sadder story that I've heard in a long time in what we would call evangelical Christianity. From premier.org, this story is everywhere. Bethel worship is a movement for a long time. We have warned about the dangers of that movement because it is dangerous, and this story exemplifies that. One of the worship leaders at Bethel Worship, she's on their latest album, Victory. This is not intended to be anything than a warning about the dangers and the pain of bad preaching and teaching that comes out of wicked pulpits like the one at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Worship leader, 2-year-old daughter died. Quote, "We believe in Jesus who died and conclusively defeated every grave, holding the keys to resurrection power. We need it for our daughter who stopped breathing yesterday and has been pronounced dead by doctors. We are asking for bold, unified prayers from the global church to stand with us in belief that he will raise this little girl back to life. Her time here is not done. And it is our time to believe boldly and with confidence, wield that king, what King Jesus paid for. It's time for her to come to life. Bethel Church asks for the global church to join with them in prayer and in declaring life and resurrection." Jen Johnson, co-founder of Bethel Music, hashtag wake up, Olive. The church added, "Our God is the God of miracles, and nothing is impossible for him." And so these grieving parents and church, because of bad theology, bad teaching from the pulpit, believe if they just have enough faith and declare it enough, their little girl is going to come back from the dead. You and I know that's not going to happen. And that is why this story should make us ache on every level, not just because this family lost a, look at this adorable little girl. They lost their daughter. How angry are they going to be when God doesn't come through after all of their efforts to demand resurrection power? How hurt, how broken, how angry, how bitter might they end up being? How deceived, how much worse will their latter end be than the first because of false teaching? Pastor, how long your sermon is, that's up to you. But please, we beg you, make sure that what you are preaching in, no matter how many minutes you choose, is not wicked teaching like this, but nothing but the truth of God's word. Pray for this family. This is horrible, and it is not going to end well. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.